Off the Ball. GAA.
Hurling traditions, obviously, will maybe smile at that. Kilkenny beat Kildare, but this is a different Kildare. This is a Kildare built on real confidence, real hurling, real belief.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Sunday Paper Review on Off the Ball.
Sunday Paper Review on this Sunday, 24th of May, 2026. Delighted to have you along with us today. And delighted also to say I'm joined in studio by the sports writer, author, Cliona Foley. Cliona, how are you?
Good morning.
And Hugh Farley of the Irish Daily Mail and the Mail on Sunday. Hugh, how are you getting on?
Grand, thanks, Adrian.
Rugby specialist and also an high administrative brief.
Yeah, okay.
We go with that.
Yeah, sit with that.
Let's tell you what's happening across the back pages to begin with. We'll start with the Sunday Independent. There's some themes that run across all of these that carry basically from one to another, and they're very much along the same theme. And one of those is definitely in relation to events in Killarney yesterday. A picture of a bloodied Ryan McHugh leaving the pitch with the Donegal doctor, Charlie McManus, in the aftermath of a pretty intense game yesterday. Bad blood, temperature soars and tempers flare in Killarney battle. The aftermath of this one expected to run and run. More on that in a few minutes. Frustrated Cullen, Ruse missed chances. Coach admits Leinster weren't good enough in final mauling. That's Rory O'Connor in Bilbao. Mail on Sunday for you. Carnage in Killarney. Blood flows and tempers flare as Kerry humbled on home turf by Donegal. The writing of Shane McGrath there. Jim McGuinness refused to be drawn on the ugly row that left Ryan McHugh bloodied in Fitzgerald Stadium. Roughly the same picture there of the two walking off the pitch. And McHugh, not to emerge, of course, was subbed off at half-time. It's deja blues, writes Rory Keane in Bilbao, on all too familiar final feeling as Leinster torched by French yet again. That's the Mail on Sunday for you. The Sunday Times is rugby all the way here. Leinster mauled, says the full-on headline. Brilliant Bordeaux tear Cullen's men apart to win Champions Cup. And dejected Jack Conan there on the front page. I spy the Premier League. Hull City draw a line under Spygate scandal with the playoff win. It was inevitable that the one team that weren't really involved in any of this stuff were the ones that were eventually going to hold exactly. their head up above water. Was it 95 minutes of added time at the end? Ollie McBurney with the goal. And it's Hull that complete the lineup. The Sunday Mirror thanks Pep, City boss off to rest, but he doesn't rule out returning. Writes Alex James here. Goodbye to a great of the Premier League, and tributes to Pep is very much a huge tone of particularly inside the papers today. Poor old Arsenal, like they wait whatever it is 22 years, and then you know on the last day where everybody should be celebrating what they're doing. Certainly from our perspective. It's Pep that gets the plaudits across a lot of the pages today. Not that they give maybe two hoots about
that. Well, Hugh and I had a little discussion outside because both of us refused to read anything else about Pep Guardiola.
We deliberately
in our lives.
Down.
Our lives are too short for that.
We focus on Arsenal in the minutes. Yeah.
Two Arsenal fans?
Not a Pep fan.
I'm just not a fan of the cult of the manager. So.
It just leaves me totally cold.
Pep, specifically?
Well, he's kind of interesting, but there's no romance with that city.
Well, put a full stop on that. Yeah. And then it has a teaser for it to come back later
but
on.
But if anybody wants to read about it, it's there.
Well, we will be coming back to it. Spoiler alert. March makes it a double. Martin O'Neill in celebration mode after their Scottish Cup win over, as they're now been renamed, Neil Lennon's Dunfermline. 3-1 yesterday at Hampden Park. And Donegal are bloody marvellous in Kerry, goes the Mail. And the last one is the Irish Sun. Bloody, Jim hits back at a talk of ban for part in Killarney Malie. Donegal 220, Kerry 16, by the way, was the full-time score, which is something we might linger on for a little bit. And bloody and then hell. From a Leinster point of view, Cheapers, Castleo and Co. again, 1941, the final score there. And Mart Coy on future at Boys in the aftermath of that game. So, we'll go to Fitzgerald Stadium maybe to begin with. Donegal beaten Kerry very, very handsomely and comprehensively in Killarney, 220 to 16 points. The outcome, somehow the reverse, obviously, of last year's final, and it's very much... the result, at least, or the performance, isn't necessarily the thrust, I think, of the headlines here. But we'll go to Michael Foley, who has a quote from his piece here that we'll throw open to the panel on from the Sunday Times. The headline being, Donegal win the battle with fragile Kerry. He says here that the greatest attention we paid to the furious brawls that broke out at halftime around the field that ended with Ryan McHugh bleeding and Michael Burns receiving the red card Micheál Burns receiving the red card before the second half began. That swung the game. Jim McGuinness getting involved with Kerry's Dermot O'Connor might invite similar attention to Ger Brennan's tangle with the Galway backroom staff member during the league that left him suspended for 12 weeks. So, the win, obviously, we'll get to all of that, and the scenes at halftime, Cliona, ugly and bloody and unbecoming, I suppose.
Well, yeah, I never understand. I know people say the red mist comes down and all the rest, but it was the scrap was there from the start. Like, there was a shot of the game. I wasn't at it, but there was a shot of the game before the ball went in, and there was stuff happening all over the pitch.
Yeah.
And actually, David Clifford, I noticed, kind of threw somebody off. You know, it was getting a lot of attention, threw somebody off in a manner which, if it happened possibly any other time during the game and the ref's eyes were on it, he could have got a yellow card for it. Do you know what I mean?
So one of the things that's been said is that maybe the referee could have taken earlier action.
Yeah, I wondered if he just shouldn't have. Now, I really liked what he did. Sean Hurston is a very experienced referee, a good referee. What he did at halftime was very unusual, because when they came back out, he brought both managers in, told them to clear the dugouts, clear everybody else out. I have never, in a long years covering GAA, seen that ever happen before. I've seen captains pulled together and said, you know, talk to them. I've never seen managers called together. So
smart.
He actually, yeah, I thought that was really smart, and things calmed down after that. But look at what people do in the height of, look, there's a, what we have now is a rivalry. Mm. That's great. There is a genuine rivalry. Also, we had an amazing game of football up until that point.
Get to both of those, because they are hugely
fantastic
important things that in some ways have been buried under the middle of all of this stuff. And like, obviously, we touched on the Jim McGuinness side of things, but like, to linger for a moment on the egregious moment, I suppose, that set all this thing off, the Micheál Burns, it looks like a Micheál Burns punch on Ryan McHugh, that we've shown all the photographs there across the back pages, and left him in a bad way to the point where he's been subbed off at halftime.
Yeah.
And he was, when they emerged for the second half, Sean Hurston gives him a red card. There seems to be a bizarre sort of a indignant response almost from Micheál Burns, in a way, you know, the usual, oh, I can't believe I've been sent off, which seems remarkable given the circumstances.
Well, yeah.
That's one I suspect we'll hear more on.
You have to, because it does appear as if he struck him. The visuals, the even slow motion that was put on it, you could clearly see that his arm appeared to come up. And I mean, he had a bloodied head. How did he get the bloodied head? That would be discussed. But that has to be dealt with. And a red card, it's clearly going to be dealt with anyway. But the tempers actually flared before that, because David Clifford came in a bit late. Now, it was a legitimate shoulder. As the buzzer went, it was a very legit shoulder. But I felt he could have softened it, or
it
could
half
have
a
tried,
second,
tried
just,
to put. Yeah. It was just a fraction off.
He was making a mark.
Yeah, and it was just they had gone up for a high ball and just came in. And I think that kind of, but that sparked what happened afterwards, because then everybody started going.
The Donegal players responded to that.
Yeah, and they all started running around, and then little clusters were breaking out.
He comes out with his hands up,
and it was a legit shoulder. I just think the timing of it was questionable.
Slightly off.
Yeah.
And so that's the tone, and then
and also I think that maybe Donegal felt aggrieved as well, that, you know, other stuff was happening and that it hadn't been dealt with. But the point is, you can't do this stuff. And McGuinness, as a manager, knows he can't put his hands on a player, because we've seen what's happened to Ger Brennan. So any umbrage he took, as he subsequently did when Tommy Rooney raised it in the press conference afterwards, it's a lost cause. Mm. It will go to CCC and some action will be taken.
Well,
that's
it sets off, that first incident seems like, I think you might have used the expression, the domino sort of impact
of
these other instances up the pitch.
Yeah.
And one of them being the Ryan McHugh instance of Micheál Burns, and Dermot O'Connor is involved in that one as well, somewhere kind of peripherally. And somehow word gets to the Donegal coaches, and Jim McGuinness particularly, that Dermot O'Connor was the offender, and he's angry, clearly, because he sees his player, Ryan McHugh, bloodied after the incident, runs up, and you actually can't see the push, what looks like a push on Dermot O'Connor. His hands go out, O'Connor steps back slightly, and he's mistaken him for the player, obviously.
Oh, there is clearly that element of it.
There's not a whole pile in it. I suppose where the discussion point kicks in, Ger Brennan gets referenced, the rule book gets referenced around minimal contact.
Minimal contact, that's in the rules for a reason. And also, there is, like, managers have a responsibility, no matter how upset you get and how fraught the situation is. You know, it's your job to be the calm one on the sideline.
Yeah.
And in this instance, he didn't look to be. I couldn't see, I wasn't at the match. It'll be interesting to see what the Kerry management were doing at the same time. The cameras seemed to concentrate on with the Donegal reaction to Mark McHugh's injury. So we don't know what I don't know what else was happening.
It's a good point. It was actually impossible for the camera people to take in everything that was going on because there was so much breaking out around the pitch and on the sideline. Stick the headphones on a second, because naturally in the post-match press conference, the conversation turns to the incident. Here's Tommy, our own Tommy Rooney, talking to Jim McGuinness afterwards.
Jim, half-time probably covers a lot of what happened, obviously, in the second half. It was carnage out there. You seemed to be close enough to the incident with Ryan McHugh that led to Neil Burns' red card. And
Well, I wasn't close to the incident, but...
What did you see, or what happened then?
I didn't see anything.
Jim, half-time probably covers a lot of what happened, obviously, in the second half. It was carnage out there. You seemed to be close enough to the incident with Ryan McHugh that led to Neil Burns' red card. And
Well, I wasn't close to the incident, but...
What did you see, or what happened then?
I didn't see anything, to be honest with you. I didn't see anything, but listen, it is what it is. You know, there's a strike and he's split and people are not happy that once your players get split, people are not going to be happy. That's just the bottom line, you know, so it was dealt with by the referee.
Yeah, we also saw Jared Brennan getting a ban for being involved, management team, and obviously GA are being happy with it. Are you worried about it?
Are you trying to get me a ban, Tommy? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not, but we all...
Well, what are you saying it for then?
Well, it was televised, Jim, on GA Plus, like it's all
right
here.
Okay, so you're.
Well, I'm not. I'm asking you.
You're flying that kite, are you?
No, it's a pretty straightforward question.
No, it's not really.
Can we keep it to the?
It's not really.
It's hard not to talk about it.
Well, we are talking about it, like, but you're not talking about the incident. You're talking about the fact that, that out of 50 people, you're finger pointing me. Is that what you're saying?
I'm not finger pointing at you.
There's 50 people in the pitch there.
There's a very clear rule that Jared Brennan got banned for, and it's minimal interference, which can be next to nothing.
Right, okay.
And it's obviously quite penal.
That's good enough. Well, sure, good. You've done your job, Tommy. You've done your job, fair enough. You've done your job. You've asked the question you wanted to ask.
What did John Harrison say to yourself and Jack last time?
Sorry?
What did Sean Harrison say to yourself and Jack?
He said, nobody in the dugout, I'm going to be fair. And that happened, and we got our boys out of the dugout, Jack got his lads out of the dugout, and I said, are you going to deal with the situation with Ryan McKinney? He says, I am going to deal with that situation, and that was it. It's over.
That was Tommy talking to Jim McGuinness in the aftermath yesterday. Morris Brosnan in there as well with the final question. So, yeah, that's the context, and that's sort of the fallout from it. And there is obviously the comparison with the Gerard Brennan incident.
It's absolutely understandable that a journalist is going to raise that question because there is a precedent there. And because I think a lot of people earlier in the year felt that 3 months for what Gerard Brennan did was actually very, very too severe and has had severe repercussions since. So it was natural that it would raise that question. I don't understand why Jim McGuinness was inferring that Tommy had some kind of personal agenda there. He's just doing his job as a journalist.
He's done this before, Lucina, didn't he? The Declan Bogue thing.
Well, Declan Bogue, that's a long time ago.
But he has form for this.
I don't understand why managers do this. I think journalists are doing a job.
I have no time for that. I mean, Tommy Rooney knows his stuff. He did his job properly. He asked a question that's very relevant that everyone's going to be talking about all week. Mm. And McGuinness tries to bully him out of it and tries to stand him down.
We won't use that word, but you know he obviously looks to defend himself for sure. And
no, Tommy's well able to defend himself.
Absolutely,
as well. I always say that you give it out, you take it back.
I think it's a totally legitimate question to have asked. Yeah. I think is what we're all saying. Yeah. There's no.
I imagine McGuinness up in Donegal and maybe in the GAA world in general is this kind of messianic figure, you know, this kind of, he's on a pedestal, he's used to people fawning around him and, you know, how dare you question me stuff. But like, what does he think is going to be talked about after that incident, you know?
Yeah, well, I think...
it's directly linked to the Gerard Brennan thing, which is directly relevant.
That's what makes it
so... Yeah, no, do you know what? Like, sorry, that reference is 100% correct, right? But there are, I think when he maybe gets into it, which is possibly what's going to happen from here on out, right, with whoever's advising him legally and every other way from here on out, there are a few differences from the Brennan one. It's a recent and good example and the right thing to be brought up in relation to it. But the difference has been that this was a push that you can't see, number one, right? So I don't know if that'll be a wrinkle that'll be used. Nobody fell on the ground, which would have happened in the Brennan incident. Mm-hmm. That might be deemed to be slightly more egregious, let's say. I know the wording is around minimal contact, so it certainly is that. So we'll see if this is deemed even more minor than that. Gerard Brennan was red carded at the time as well, which was obviously a slight difference from this because there was no action taken at the time. And sorry, the last bit being that, like, I'm not Jim McGuinness's defence lawyer here, but I'm sure they'll go through all of this. The last bit being that you know, the mitigation of Ryan McHugh's bloody face probably being an aggravating factor.
Can I say one thing? In my experience with the GAA Disciplinary Committee over the years, there isn't such a thing as mitigation.
Right.
They don't...
Black and white.
Rugby, they use the rules as quote-unquote guidelines. In the GAA, it's black and white usually, and that's why, you know, if there's a big suspension first, usually it goes, you might appeal it. But the mitigation thing doesn't actually work, I think, in the GAA.
No,
you know?
And everybody feels that everybody understands that the letter of the law is that it's minimal contact and so a ban.
Yeah, unfortunately. You know,
but that everybody feels, as they did with the Brennan thing, that it's very penal.
We're going into the semantics here and the tortuous GA, just CCs, I don't understand, whatever. And we're going to have to report on this for the week on this. But just to refer to that press conference, right? He implied that Tommy Rooney had a personal agenda. Are you trying to get me a ban? You cannot say that to a working journalist. That's not on. And I don't know.
You can say it, but it's not true. But managers do it all the time. It's a defensive mechanism.
They're indulged.
And his blood was up.
There should be some. I don't know. Can you be sanctioned for that kind of carry on? I mean, you can't.
No.
Look, I make allowance for, tensions being high and post match. Look, it's good viewing. I mean, it was compelling to watch and stuff. But there has to be a degree of respect and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I think McGuinness needs to look at himself and how he handled himself there. It wasn't good.
Yeah.
I think the thing as well is, I think McGuinness's grudge, and look, I don't know what his motivation was in his response, but he seemed to imply that there was a load of stuff going on around the pitch and you're singling me out. And my thing always is, yeah, you're the manager. You're the guy, you're the big boy here. You're the guy who's meant to be in charge here. You're the one who's in charge of making sure your teams are... I'd say this to any manager, this isn't a personal thing at all at McGuinness, but a manager's job is to control their players and make sure that all that stuff is kept as low as possible. So if a manager seems to be inflamed, people will ask questions.
And the players are allowed to have a degree of physical contact with each other, given the nature of the game.
And then
obviously, as we know, outside of that, that's not allowed. So
The reports on it were very good today. Mm. I mean, the papers are really good today. There was loads of them to write about.
Sorry, last thing for me on that would be that, like, if he himself reflects on it, and on your point, Hugh, if he himself reflects on it, and anybody that might have been around him that would be a confidant, this is going to come up. How are we going to address it? There's no point in offering that type of a defence.
Yeah.
We'll just say we accept that, you know, that happened, and we'll see how things play out over the next little while.
But Jim is not a guy who would... I think he's always... Even, do you remember when they came back after the All-Ireland this year, and I think the first league match, and they were asked questions, and he gave a very firm statement. He has firm opinions. Yeah. He wants things done his way, and he will always do that. So I don't think whatever anybody advised him, to say or not say, he's going to do it however he wants to do it. That's just his nature.
He just said, look, we'll see what happens and all. I mean, he won at the end of the day. I also wasn't impressed by whatever clipboard holding Fluffer was there saying, can we keep to the match questions?
Well, she has to face him afterwards.
I know.
That job is done all the time.
Media handling stuff. But, like, overall, I mean, to go
it's
back
created
to Kenya's
point,
point
it shouldn't be there.
Like, it's box office stuff. You know, I mean, I was working yesterday, and, like, obviously the plan was, like, the Sunday Times did, to wipe it with Leinster. That was the big event of the day. And then events happened in Killarney, and this rivalry
when you scratch away at this stuff, and like this isn't going away now for the next few days and maybe beyond that, and whenever, you know.
And it's a great rivalry, Hugh, because it's a football rivalry. Yeah.
But hang on a second, I went to have a look at the odds this morning just to see where everything was at.
Oh, yeah.
And they're still, Kerry are still favourites to win the All Ireland.
I just want to make that point. The manager who should be happy this morning with all the Ferrari around Jim McGuinness is Jack O'Connor.
Yeah.
Because
Kerry
are masters at this. They'll take that grievance and that hurt, and they'll go away and they'll nurse it, and they'll come back with a fire and a fury.
And a few more, a few less injured players.
Yeah, well, do you know what? The match reports were really interesting yesterday because normally match reports at that kind of speed and in a live situation can be very factual, but they were both really good. Shane McGrath's match report is well worth reading because he does refer to all of the facts about how many Kerry players have been injured, who they were missing yesterday, who they need to get back, who they've just got back, all of that, because they have had big injury problems. But the other thing is the match reports reflect how brilliant Donegal were yesterday. And also, I remember noticing it, their first, like, they played such brilliant football. Their first wide was after 28 minutes, and they had their second wide in the last minute. And okay, Kerry went down to 14, but Donegal played brilliant football yesterday, and actually McGuinness should be, you know, they should be reveling in that today, and the fact that they keep they've regularly beaten Kerry this year. So like it's a fascinating rivalry that's coming. He's delivering
a masterclass.
Yeah,
on that side
brilliant.
Of it.
I mean, it's not, absolutely brilliant. It's going to get over.
This is what's fascinating.
The
vagaries of the GA system or whatever one they came up with, and Super 8's gone now.
Don't even start.
Yeah, like, every year it changes.
We haven't time.
So like Shane has a line here in his pieces, like the referenced about Donegal. This was a display of brilliant economy, of meanness, and of unwavering focus. This was the work of champions elect, right?
Yeah.
Now it looked that way, but Kerry are still in it.
Oh, sure. Well,
no
that's
one's knocked out here. Like if you play that well and deliver that kind of performance, you want to have, like, you know, a consequence for, you know, Kerry will come back at them again, you know. That's the intriguing aspect
of
all this.
Yeah, well, look, it looked like a game that had everything at stake, and yet the losers still have a chance to be there. That's what you're arguing. You're wondering about
what about it. Of beating Kerry yesterday? Like, do they get easier?
They just get, so
Well, Kerry can get a tough draw in the next round. That's their problem, is that they now
Kerry take one detour now to play another game, and if they lose that, they're out, whereas Donegal are into the next.
Who's capable of beating them besides Donegal? Armagh?
Well, that's what we were just saying.
Well, it depends on who. So they'll be facing one of the beaten teams.
Yeah.
Meath or Kildare for yesterday.
Get their confidence back up, and then they come in battle hardened.
Well, and with players back.
Well, Meath beat them in Tullamore last year. That was, you know, but like, look.
Well, it was funny. Somebody even reflected that yesterday in the aftermath, and were saying, was this Kerry's Meath moment this year? Because that was the one that copper fastened them and rallied the troops last year, and now having lost to Donegal again. I think it's a different situation this year because they're without so many players at the moment.
Were those
and Gavin
Kerry?
White.
They were mean. I wouldn't mortgage on it to you. But
look, do you know what? And it was a fascinating day, and equally fascinating and totally overshadowed, really, except maybe in the.